Final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. Boy, did we have a lot of football in the last hour. Brad Hopkins, 13 years as left tackle, stalwart for the Tennessee Oilers / Titans. We talked to him. Eddie George, you just heard, one of the best interviews we've ever had with Eddie over all the years we've been talking to Eddie. Also in the last hour, Titans legend. We switch gears to talk hockey. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet, is on the line with us, and every week he's brought to you by Carey's Ire, Remax Elite. Elliot, how you doing?
Well, that's a tough come down. Eddie George, to me, it's like the starter who pitched 8 shutout innings, and I come on and blow the save. That's a tough one.
No, but you can't. We're not bringing you in. You're not going to blow anything. You're going to win the game. You're going to take us home. That's the beauty.
I love your optimism and faith. I like that.
How are things in your neck of the woods? How are things with the family, and how's everything been going to this point?
You know, pretty well, thank you. All fortunate. You know, as I joke around with people, if the biggest issue you have is boredom, you're doing okay. So done a good job having some classes online for them. We go for walks. We play games. We try to make the best of the situation we live. And I hope everybody listening here can do the same thing.
You know, I've seen some pretty cool stuff. I mean, that's what has been neat out of this. We are, when we get through this, are going to be able to reflect back and probably, hopefully, take some things going through this experience together with us moving forward. And I hope that some of the things you just laid out there, I mean, we built our house. We were in phase one of this neighborhood, and we've watched it grow. We've been here for 12 years, and it wasn't supposed to have this many phases, but as Nashville continued to grow, our neighborhood is huge, and I've never seen this many people in the neighborhood. I've never met this many neighbors, and you know what? That's a cool thing, because if we weren't going through this, it would have been business as usual and none of this would have happened. And I have to believe that, Elliot, our neighborhood will change because of this experience.
For the better.
Yes, yes. For the better. That's well said.
I think people, you know, better to each other if they know each other. So you're right. I do think that is the best bit of good news. And also, at some point in time, it'll be nice when we can talk to each other from closer than 6 feet.
Yes, no doubt about it. I've always said, you know, speaking of football, Pro Bowl's great. You get the free trip to Hawaii when they have it there, or free trip wherever it is. But All Pro is really how you should gauge somebody, because All Pro is voted on by your peers. And when I see this come out with the NHLPA, to me, that's where you really look at. It's not a popularity contest if it's the fans or the media, you know, who liked this person, who didn't like this person. When it's your peers, you know, that means something. What did you think of the voting? Of course, Sidney Crosby was voted the most complete player. What did you make of the results?
Well, you know what? It's I wasn't surprised. Happy to see that. I think that, you know, pro sports guys, they're ageist. We look down on age now. The prime of a career now being earlier than ever, especially in the NHL, your best statistical years tend to happen 8 years old. So we talk a lot about youth, and, you know, they talk about, like, you know, who's the best player, and they talk about Connor McDavid, and he scored. But I think there's also a realization that a guy like Sidney Crosby, with everything he's accomplished, everybody says they're at the top. He's at the top of the game, and the players respect that. I did a thing about a week ago where I was from Nova Scotia, like Sid is, and McKinnon's having an unbelievable year. And if we ever get around to the voting, he could win the Hart. And I said, do you ever say to Sid, and they're good buddies, do you ever go to him now and say, hey, I'm the best player for no one? And he laughed and he said, I'll say I'm better than Sid when I've got 4 cups and 3 gold medals, because Sid's got 3 and 2. I think everybody kind of remembers and realizes that maybe he's a little bit older and maybe he's not the scorer he used to be. But when you package and you talk about the brains and you talk about the everyday drive to be the best, there's no question that those players, Crosby, is dynamite.
Elijah, I don't know how we've connected with Elliot, but we're having trouble a little bit. There's some breaking up. Can we reconnect? Can we recall a different number? I don't know how we're doing this. So maybe if we could put Elliot on hold, guys, and see if we can't get a better connection. I want to hear what he has to say. It keeps going in and out on us. Maybe we should step away. Should we step away real quick and come back? Elijah,
we
want to do that?
We want to do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's do that real quick. Let's go on and take a quick break. We'll come back and try to get a better connection with Elliot on the other side. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. We talk to him every Thursday starting at 1 o'clock. We'll be back.
Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Always enjoy catching up with him. And Elliot, you've continued on with your 31 thoughts, and I think you've done an outstanding job finding interesting things to come up with here. And one of the things that's a theme this week for you in your column is, you know, finding the good stories that are going on during these times that are sort of uplifting. What's one of your favorites? Give us your favorite one to share with our audience.
Well, first of all, thanks. And you know, one thing I really believe is that, hey, these are serious times, and if I can do anything I can to help people get their minds off it and think about something else, I'm going to try to do the best I can. But I think one of the stories that really stood out to me is there's a pair of twin brothers. They're from Whistler, which is, you know, where shared the Olympics with Vancouver in 2010 in British Columbia, and they were born 1 minute apart. They played hockey together their whole lives until a couple of years ago when they were just about to turn 17. One played junior hockey that started in Edmonton, and the other started in Washington State. And, you know, it was tough for them to kind of be apart from each other the first time. And they fought their way through it. One brother was drafted in the Western Hockey League. One wasn't, so he had to go through something a little different. The one brother suffered a pretty serious knee injury on the way coming back. His billet father, where he lived, he died suddenly in a motorcycle accident. He helped that family, the mother and the daughter, get through it. Then their mother was diagnosed with an illness. She had breast cancer, but she's doing okay. The Edmonton team traded him back to the Vancouver area, Victoria actually, so that he would be closer to home. The mother dropped the puck at a game where he won the opening ceremonial face-off, and the kids are finished their junior career. They both were on pretty good teams, they were both on pretty good teams this year. They both would have been in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, after Edmonton traded the one brother, they traded for the other one, the goalie, to help their young guy out. And that Edmonton organization, it was them that reached out and said, if you don't mind, would you write about these two guys? They're great kids. So their mother's doing well now. The boys are looking towards the next phase of their life. They might go to university together. They might play minor hockey somewhere. But they are just great kids who treated a lot of people really well. One of them was the Humanitarian of the Year in the Western Hockey League 2 years ago. And somebody just felt that they deserve to be written about because they're great kids. And it was a real pleasure to tell their story.
Wow, that is quite a story. That is for sure. Elliot, right now, as you know, we're doing this bracket competition. The best 30 athletes, or we're trying to crown the best athlete of the Nashville area over the past 30 years. One guy that is on the board today that people are voting on is Kimmo Tiiminen, and I would love some outside perspective on you. Now, for those that can go back here, he was a great product of the expansion process, right? The rules were different back then as opposed to what Vegas and Seattle are going to get the benefit of. I mean, you were looking for the bottom of the barrel, and here's a guy that turned into an all-star and a captain of the team for the Predators and you could see his progress and the team's progress grow from the lovable expansion guys to a team that turned into a pretty good powerhouse. But give us your perspective on Kemo.
Well, I'll give you another reason. Like, you named a lot of reasons why people should vote for him on the ice. I'll give you another reason why the people of Nashville should vote for him just personally. And that is because if you ever asked Timonen about Nashville, he would tell you that that city saved his career. Because, you know, he was at a point where he wasn't thought of as a legit NHLer. It was David Poile, your longtime GM, who believed in him. And he has said several times that if it wasn't for the NHL going to Nashville, he probably never gets the chance. You know, I'll tell you about when Timonen played at the 2014 Olympics in Sochi. I was on the same flight as him coming home from Russia after those Olympics were over. As a matter of fact, I was sitting next to one of my broadcast partners, Glenn Healy, and in the next aisle over was Timonen. And we kind of talked for a good chunk of the plane, of the flight home. And that was a long one. And, you know, he basically said, he did say how, you know, Nashville saved his career. It brought him, it gave him an opportunity that he wasn't otherwise getting. And he talked a lot about how much he loved playing there. And, you know, obviously he moved on. He went to Philadelphia and he went to Chicago and he won a Stanley Cup there. But Nashville was always number one for him. And the funny thing, too, is that, you know, we were saying to him that every player who probably knew that they had to sit next to a media member would have rolled his eyes and just said, oh, my God, I'm faking sleep. And he was laughing and saying, no, I enjoy chatting with you guys. And you guys know Timonen, and he's such a great guy. You know, I just think that one of the reasons he should get votes is – if you ask him about Nashville, he'll talk your ear off about how great it is. He's really appreciative for everything the Predators and the city did for him.
Classy, classy guy. Well said. Elliot, one more for me, and then I'll pass it over to Chase for a couple of questions here. But we were talking earlier in the week, just keeping our eye on China and their professional basketball league with the idea of trying to quarantine their players, play in some remote sites and try to continue the season in some form. They've had to push back the date. I know that idea has been kicked around in hockey circles some, and I know the NBA has done it as well. Is this, I mean, as people kind of watch over there at how this develops, tell me where you think they are on that. Is this at all realistic to try to think about here?
Well, the one thing I really believe is that if one league is talking about it, they're all talking about it. Because all of these leagues share information. They probably have more information than we have, but they share what they get and they share it with each other. And, you know, I asked, like, there's an NBA reporter, a pretty good guy named Brian Windhorst, and he went on ESPN last weekend and talked about this, and I sent the link to someone at the NHL, and I said, what are the possibilities? And he told me that they discussed it. Like, so it is something that's been discussed. You know, I think there's a couple of things to realize here. Number one, you know, where are people going to be able to go that's going to be safe? I mean, we don't know that yet. Number two, what kind of quarantine are you going to have to go, A, before you get there, and B, once you get there? So, for example, if all the teams are going to go to one spot, do you have to get there early and quarantine before you can even do anything? I would assume the answer will be yes. You know, I think also, do you want to talk all in one spot or you want to do three and four spots? So I do think, guys, that this is on the radar. I think the leagues are realizing more likely than not, if we resume in the summer, it's going to be without fans. So they're going to look at areas where, A, it looks as if the curve has been flattened. B, will the governments or the respective regulatory bodies let them in there to go? And C, you know, will you have to put, you know, four, five, six more teams in there? And I think all of that is going to be discussed. And I assume right now, because I've been told to do it, if one league is discussing something like that, they're all discussing something like that.
Well, and Elliot Friedman with us from Sportsnet. The, you know, couple questions that come to mind if they go that route. You know, we were talking about this the other day. You know, what does that mean for people like us that cover the teams on a daily basis? You know, Willie's the play-by-play on the TV side for the Predators. You, obviously, with your work, you know, what do they select some media members that are just going to be there and be quarantined with them? Or what do you think the best way to handle that would be?
You know, that's a good question. We were talking about this the other day, too. So, you know, I mean, we're all guessing here. We're all spitballing. But, you know, I think that one of our things would definitely happen is they would need technical crews to go and set up everything so they could be broadcast. And so you'd need a crew, you need your cameramen in there. You'd need, you know, things like that, people to set up the building. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think you're going to need a ton of people because you're probably not going to, it's not going to be the, unfortunately, unless they decide to do it this way, the super duper elite stuff that everybody's used to. We might not just be allowed to have that many people on site. I know for myself, we don't go on site, our main panel, until the Stanley Cup final. We do everything else from the studio. But are they going to want to have, you know, 50 people in the studio? So it's probably going to be scaled down unless we're allowed to have that many people gathering. I could see a situation where maybe there's a couple of broadcasters allowed there and they do it for everybody. Or maybe what happens for you guys who broadcast the Predators, maybe you broadcast it off remote. Yeah. Or they say you can go, but you can only go in the building when your team is playing. Like, I think, or one thing that we do, for example, when Calgary plays Edmonton sometimes, we use a couple people from the Calgary broadcast and a couple people from the Edmonton broadcast. So let's say Nashville's, you know, playing Carolina. Well, Willie, we all know John Forslund sucks, so you're going to get to call the game. and you know, Chase, we all know that you're better than anybody Carolina's got to offer, so you're going to be working the game. And then we'll pick someone from Carolina that can be part of the broadcast too.
Hey, I like that plan. Sorry, Darren, you'll have to sit this one out.
Oh, Darren, sorry, I apologize. I forget that for a second.
I'll just stay safe at home.
No, you're good.
But I think it'll be something like that. I think that maybe it'll be a couple guys. Maybe there'll be one generic crew in there, or maybe they say everybody's got to broadcast remotely. I think we don't know exactly yet.
I think we have all had to evolve our way of thinking as we go through this process because, you know, our conversations with you and others, you know, has changed a lot as we learn more or we see this thing continue to spread and continue to grow. So with all of that said, how much do you think that the NHL and, you know, we'll throw other leagues are now going, we don't need to necessarily worry as much about this season. If we can do something with it, we will. But how is this going to affect us next season if there's a second phase of this that comes when it gets colder again?
Well, I think we're all kind of wondering that, right? Like the toughest thing right now is it's out of our hands. You know, look, all of us here, we're talking about, you know, we're staying home, we're doing what we need to do. You know, there's still people out there that aren't paying enough attention. Like, I read the quote today from, the governor of Georgia saying that we didn't understand that asymptomatic people could transmit it. And I'm like, this is screwing it up for everybody else. And I think that's part of the problem is that we don't have control over what other people are doing. I think right now what's happening in the NHL, guys, is they're working on a plan for both this year and next year. Like, how do they go about getting a Stanley Cup awarded and get a full season in next year? And until they're told they can't, like, I'm sure they're working on 50 different scenarios, but until they're told they can't do that, that's going to be the plan. Now, I'm sure they got plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, all the way plan WWWW. But they're working on it, and I think right now, they want to find a way, award the Stanley Cup this summer, have next season. If that means you have to take out the All-Star game and those big five-day breaks and compress the schedule a bit, I think that's their number one choice.
Do you think fans are going to show up in masks whenever fans are allowed back in to arenas?
Boy, that is a great question. That is, I think some will. Yeah.
But I mean, like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I know there's
just,
no doubt
it's just
some
been recommended
will, but,
for the first time in the last couple of days.
Right.
That some are saying that it might be the best way to go at a certain point.
But I'm wondering, are thousands going to show up in masks?
Well, I think this is the thing. Like, let's just talk as people here. How comfortable would you all now be with going to a stadium if you knew 20,000 people? Like, if there was a Predator game tonight and at home and they said, okay, restrictions lifted, how comfortable would you guys be with going to a stadium with 20,000 people in?
It would be tough right now today. Yeah. Well, it's going to be tough no matter what, because no matter how long this goes, we'll never forget this, right? This experience.
We won't for a while. I think it's human nature to keep it for a while and then for. But the other thing too is, and I just thought of this right now, so you guys can tell me if I'm nuts. Maybe the answer is you give out Predators themed masks when you walk in. Everybody gets one. You make it part of the experience. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I used to be one of those people who didn't like it when people wore masks. I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
So if I sit down in my seat and everyone around me is wearing a mask, it's never going to bother me again.
Yeah. What I've learned is it's not really the paranoid person that's trying to not catch it from somebody else. It's really the person that's been conscientious that they don't want to give it to anybody around them. I never thought about it that way, but that's really what you're doing. That's essentially the purpose of the mask.
Absolutely. And you know what? Like, how many times, like, I don't know if you guys are surrounded by anyone who's a germaphobe. Like, I am, hint, right. Hint, my wife. I used to roll my eyes when she used to get annoyed at people for coughing or sneezing in public. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
It will change us. You know, I think that's well said. It will definitely affect us for a good while. But to think that there isn't a promotion going to happen where you get a Predator's mask when you walk in the door, I mean, do I think that's crazy? No. No, I could absolutely see that happening. And it would
right.
be perfectly and acceptable. Nobody would even, you know, think twice about it. I mean, I think people would be like, sure, yeah, give me one of those.
Absolutely. As long as you know it's, like, reasonably safe and you could make it part of the experience. Like, that to me is going to be the interesting thing. I think it's a great question. Like, I don't think about it too much because I'm like, just get me back to work doing what I normally do and I'll deal with everything else after. But it will be interesting to see. You know, the first time we're allowed to go into buildings all together, how comfortable is everybody going to be with that? I do think that people will be starving for entertainment, that they will go. But I think that's the better question you guys ask is everyone going to be there in masks?
Well, I think to this whole conversation that we're having right now, I mean, I've been so used to it for, you know, this is season 7 for me, holding down the fort of pregame and postgame and intermissions, and that is done for home games in front of a live audience in Jack Daniel's Barrel House. And I've just been so used to that and welcoming to that. I love having people in there and hanging out and watching and listening to the pregame show and a postgame show. But to think that, you know, at least for a good while, you're not going to think a little bit differently about, you know, how we were pre-coronavirus to post-coronavirus. I think we would be naive to think that, you know, we wouldn't have some thought, a different thought than what we have. Right?
Well, I think that's well said. Here's a question. Are you guys going to shake hands again?
I mean, that is a great question. That's a great question.
Like, you guys are probably similar to me in a way. I don't judge anyone, but I do notice if somebody gives a good handshake as opposed to a flat rag,
yep.
Like that was meaningful to me.
Me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, this guy got a good handshake.
Totally.
Yep. Oh, there's no question. And usually I'll make a comment on the firm handshake. You know, like, wow, all right. strong handshake. Good. You know, especially if it's a younger person, like, all right, I like that handshake. Don't lose that handshake.
Yep.
That's good. Elliot, good stuff as always. We really appreciate you joining us. We always look forward to Thursdays. Thanks for doing this. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Guys, we'll continue doing this. I got the note today from Ryan. I'm all good. We'll keep doing this, okay?
I did. That's why I hesitated to say anything, because I wasn't sure to say something. So thank you.
We are extremely appreciative, for sure.
Very much so.
No. This is bigger than the business, right? Let's just keep our lives going normal, okay? Well,
thank you very much for saying that.
Thanks, Elliot.
You guys, all the time.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. Go check out his work. He does fantastic work. Also, Hockey Night in Canada when there is hockey, and we do talk to him every Thursday at 1 o'clock. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Man, this has been one hell of a show. Really good stuff.
Pretty good.
Chris Massaro, MTSU athletics director, got the whole thing started. Then we talked with Jim Wyatt while he was receiving packages and people wanting to talk to him during the interview. He still powered through. We got through that. Then we had Brad Hopkins and Eddie George in the third hour, and you just heard Elliot Freedman. And the reason I was kind of hesitant, just to kind of pull the curtain back in our business, it was going to end this week, and because of the circumstances that we're in and just kind of the initial agreement, we really hadn't talked moving past this, even though, of course, we wanted to, and everything was supposed to kind of come to a halt after today. And just to kind of tell you the kind of person that Elliot Freedman is, he said, look, we're going to keep doing this, right? We need to keep normalcy. You know, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm just going to be available Thursdays at 1 o'clock. You guys call me like you've done all season long. That's what kind of person that he is. We could have ended this today.
Sure.
And that's that. Thank you. We'd love to continue this once hockey comes back and once we get back to some normalcy. But he said, no, let's keep it going. Let's just keep doing this on Thursdays. And so we're really, really appreciative of that. He did not have to do that, and we were more than happy to continue talking to Elliot Thursdays at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's just he's a classy individual. So it's really cool that he's able to do that and wanting to do that. And we will look forward to continuing those conversations with him.
Speaking of that, I believe Nate is on the line with us at 737-1025, 737-1025. Nate, what's up?
Hey, guys. Loving the quarantine life.
You're loving it, huh? Okay.
No, I'm actually not. It's killing me.
Yeah. So what's going on?
No, well, from last segment, I was just wanting to comment. I don't know if it's going to be more that of the fans that are going to want to have masks. I don't know how many fans are going to be so eager to get out to the game. I mean, we've got them on TV, so if you have, you know, Comcast or know someone who has a TV provider and you can stream it, then, I mean, I bet at least for the first couple of games, if not the first week or so, we might see lesser crowds.
I think that's a good point, Nate.
I don't think there's any doubt that it is going to be atop of everybody's minds. I brought it up because I've truly been thinking about it this week. Like, I wonder what it will look like when sports comes back, and especially, you know, in an arena. You know, it's a little bit, but not really, I guess. I don't know if it really matters, outdoor, indoor, but, you know, are people going to wear masks for early on? You know, the handshake thing, I think, is great. I mean, Nate is a prime example. I mean, Chase, you know this. Being in Barrel House with me, I mean, Nate is a guy that comes up, we handshake, fist bump, high five, whatever. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, are we going to do things differently post-coronavirus? You know, once we come out of this, are we going to not handshake? I don't know. I do think it's an interesting discussion.
I wonder if fist bumps would be coming back more, just because it kind of is a little less risky.
I don't know, guys. How would you answer that?
I think we'll go through a process, right? I think some people will play it safer than others, you know, at the beginning of it, and then it'll phase back into maybe some old habits. But I don't doubt that it'll change people's habits in some ways for a long, long time. And in terms of when the fans are coming back, I think everybody will be very tolerant and conscious of the transition period, right? Not everybody's going to feel comfortable. And also, remember, there's the whole financial part of it, too. Some people are going to be recovering probably at different stages and with disposable income and ability to come to games, right? And we just have to be okay with that, you know, with what everybody's situation is. But as Nate mentioned, you know, I think just as a sports fan, everybody is going to be craving and so appreciative that the games are back, and everybody will just enjoy it in whatever way that they see fit.
And by the way, does Georgia not get the news? Because I think it's old news that asymptomatic people can spread it.
Well, it's not just that. It's you know, the studies that I've been seeing repeatedly is, you know, a vast majority of people have found that they have contracted it from somebody that didn't know they had it, right? So it's not like, oh my gosh, this guy's standing over here. He looks sick as a dog, man. Stay away from that guy. That's the thing about this virus, is that you can be walking around contracted, you know, with the virus. You have it, you have no symptoms, you give it to somebody, and you don't even know that you had it. That's why the social distancing and you know, and such, you know, we're calling it physical distancing. We're trying to stay social as much as we can here, but the distancing is so critical, and the staying at home when if it's non-essential is critical. It's not optional.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not going back to my fiance's house, because she does have a frail grandmother. And, you know, I have no idea if I have it or not. I feel fine. But I don't want to, you know, have it while not knowing and then give it to her. So,
yeah. Nate, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, as always. You know, you do wonder, not to make light of this. I'm certainly not trying to make light of it. I do think it's going to be, a real conversation. It will create some kind of awkward moments because – you know, we'll all be one, kind of what you were saying, Willie. Everybody's going to be really, really excited and anxious to get out and get returned to some normalcy. But, you know, there's going to be other factors, like you said, you know, people's income and how were you affected by all of this. But, you know, you're not going to just immediately, even though you're out and you're doing things, you know, the restaurant, everything's back open, you're not going to just resume everything being normal. Like, you are going to take different precautions. You are going to think differently. Maybe if you weren't somebody, I mean, how many times have we put people on the list for going into the bathroom and walking out of the bathroom and not washing your hands? I mean,
right,
all the time. Like, hopefully, finally, those people will think differently. They should have never taken something like this for you to think differently, but we are going to think differently. And, you know, we are accustomed to seeing people, especially at a gathering, to shake their hand or to fist bump or to high five. And if one wants to do that and the other doesn't, it's going to create a little bit of a weirdness, right? Like,
yeah, it's going to be awkward.
And then it's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, like, you're going to have to do that every time? Like, yeah, no, not going to do that. No offense, but not going to, you know, I'm just saying that that will happen.
But I think the question is, how long will people have that mindset? Will it be one of those things where we've changed society forever and how we do things? Or is, you know, like Willie, you know, was saying, of will this be a situation where, okay, for the foreseeable future, yes, but then as time goes by, we'll just go back to normal? That's the big question.
And how do we all get on that page, right? How do we all know
when
it's time to
change? We could also hope that we – you know, we never have anything like this again. But, you know, down the road sometime, maybe it'll be 100 years from now. Like, we've read in history class, and we've certainly heard about it, you know, in, what was it, 1917, you know, the Spanish flu that was the only thing that we can comprehend that's been similar to this. You know, maybe it's another 100 years, but there's stuff to be learned, right? You learn from history. And so, yeah, I do think it probably changes our mentality about life, right, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. We will come back. I want you guys to hear. We've talked about the scheme some today. Like I said, we had a conversation with Chris Massaro, what it's going to be like for the spring athletes, kind of that whole process, and what it was like as an AD going through the process. But, you know, we've also watched this documentary on HBO called The Scheme, and Dick Vitale had some very, very interesting comments today about that, about LSU and Arizona basketball. We'll tell you what that is on the other side to close out Thursday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. But right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've been at it for a long time, and they've got a whole lot of satisfied homeowners out there. And we know there's a lot of people listening right now that own a home, and you're in your home that you love, but you're also ready to spend a little time away from your home at some point. We'll get there. They've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. And if you've been out in the yard, you've been out doing yard work or house projects, which a lot of you are doing, and maybe you've noticed some bricks that are cracking and you're wondering what's going on there, walls that are bowing, or you maybe have been going in and out so much you've been opening and closing the front door, or you open and closing the windows with the weather being nice, and you've noticed that they're sticking. You know that means that's not normal. Something's going on there. Drywall separating. Maybe a chimney that you've noticed out in the yard looking at that's tilting or leaning. Look, these are all signs, along with a whole lot of others, that something may be going on with your house. Maybe that your house is trying to tell you something. And these are typically not projects you need as a homeowner to try to tackle. Get the experts out. That's USS. They believe in their quality of work. They believe in their reputation and the integrity of their work. They're going to come out. They're going to tell you what's going on. They're going to give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. As a homeowner, these should all be things that should get you to perk up. If you need them out at your house, call this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you can always check out and learn everything about them by going to their website, USSTN.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS. What do you think about? Today's voting is the Phil Bredesen region. Got about a little bit more than 7 hours to cast your vote. Nashville Sports Bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. We've already completed two regions. The third region will be in the books, and we'll have one more tomorrow, the David Poyle region, and then we will have this thing whittled down to our Sweet 16. So,
I'm ready with results if you want them.
Well, I've got everything as well, but you go ahead. Tell everybody where we are on the Phil Bredesen region to this point.
Our fantastic interview earlier with Eddie George, we've posted that if you missed it. He is leading Blake Jeffrey on 94%. To 6%, the 116. This battle has been a close one all day, the 8-9 matchup, as John Jenkins started the show trailing. He now leads 54% to Steve Sullivan's 46%. So that one is one to watch the rest of the day. The Nice Guy Bowl, Mike Fisher, the 4 seed, 83%, taking on Marcus Mariota, the 13, getting 17%. This one, the closest battle of the day, the 5 seed, Albert Hainsworth. The 12 seed, Kimmo Tiimonen. It is tied right now, 50% each way. So that one, a fun one. Blaine Bishop, the 11 seed, leads the 6 seed, Golden Tate, 58% to 42%. That one has tightened up as the show has gone on. Kevin Dyson, the 14 seed, leading the 3 seed, Ron Mercer, 75% to 25%, would be the biggest upset so far in the tournament. Brad Hopkins, the 7 seed, leading the 10 seed, Brandon Wright, 77% to 23%. And the 2 seed, Mookie Betts, leads the 15, Jordan Tutu, 64-36.
We all get very proud, right, when we do our brackets every year, and we have that, we call that big upset. It's like the right. You don't even remember the rest of your bracket. You're just like so proud that you called that one. That's my proud one. The 14. You know, if you pick a 3-14 seed and it actually happens, that's my proud moment. Don't even know what happens the rest of the way, but that's the one I'll remember.
I know. I'm
and it's, by the way, it's been easy too. That's probably the more surprising thing than anything is Kevin Dyson has just cruised all day long as the 14 seed. He is literally doing what MTSU did against Michigan State. He has led wire to wire. We'll see with 7 hours to go if he can continue to do that. That one was a 2-15 Michigan State and MTSU. This is the 3-14. I said Dick Vitale has weighed in on, clearly he has watched The Scheme, and that is an HBO documentary that we've been talking about on this show, and Dick Vitale tweeted out this morning, he said, many naysayers claim the NCAA enforcement staff will not do anything in relation to the sleazy stuff shown during The Scheme and the Hoop trials. Trust me, reliable sources tell me that LSU and Arizona basketball will be hit with major allegations by the NCAA. That's Dick Vitale today.
Wow. So he's coming in strong with that.
He said, trust me, reliable sources tell me that LSU and Arizona basketball will be hit with major allegations by the NCAA. Dick Vitale's tweet today.
I think that's one of those that you have to pay attention to, because he's not going to just throw that out there.
Well, as we've talked about, if you watch,
he hasn't done a whole lot of that in his career. Like, what do you think? I mean, Dick Vitale has been a cheerleader for the sport.
Nothing
and has
but
really
pom-poms.
Shied away from really getting into a lot of recruiting sleaze altogether.
No
he's
doubt,
he just celebrates the kids. Really, I mean that's what he's done. He celebrates kids, celebrates coaches. Enthusiasm for the game, that's his thing. So it's an interesting – I would not have expected him to be the guy doing that today.
He has been pom-pom city the whole time. And that's why I wanted to read that, because that is – I mean, for Dick Vitale to say that, him, about that, I mean, that to me is very newsworthy. And we talked about it. If you watch this, it's definitely worthy. If you've listened to the show and – heard us, it is definitely worth the watch. It's 2 hours long. It's worth it. It's a good watch. But you have to wait a while towards the end to really hear the tapes of Will Wade and Sean Miller. And, you know, anybody with a fraction of a brain, I don't even want to say half of a brain, a fraction of a brain, if you listen to that and you can't put two and two together and get four and realize what they're talking about in that, in those tapes, I mean, those are actual, that is a head coach, two coaches of, you know, big time schools, big boy basketball. And they are telling a middle guy, you know, a middleman, that they don't know that's being taped, and neither does he. They're just having an honest conversation with a buddy. And they're saying what they did when you listen to those tapes, and you've seen a lot of this stuff quoted already in articles. But, I mean, I don't know how else you come away with anything other than, there's some major cheating going on right there.
Yeah, they're not on the up and up.
Yeah.
Another thing that's referenced a lot in the documentary to me that you can see is, because it's secondary, it doesn't really get deep into it, but it's referenced a number of times of the shoe companies and what they are doing on the periphery. You know, like one of the conversations I think that's on tape that they play is Sean Miller talking to Christian Dawkins, and they were talking about a recruit. I think it's, I forget his name. Is it Ayton? You know, how do you say his name?
DeAndre Ayton,
yeah. I think was the guy. Yeah. And so he's saying, well, it's either you guys or Miami. He was like, well, Miami, they don't have anything on us, right? And he said, well, they do have Adidas. Right, so it's that kind of thing. They don't really go down the road of the shoot. There's so many different avenues and tentacles of people out there that influence where kids go and are probably, you know, paying people here and there. But the layers of it is what you can appreciate watching it. And you can say to yourself, well, this is why a lot of the coaches are able to stay above, you know, all the stuff. So why Sean Miller is on the phone? Why would he ever put himself in that position?
No kidding. Well,
that's
because
crazy.
They have the relationship with Christian Dawkins. They view him as a friend. He's helped their programs with recruits.
Yep. Like at one point, Christian Dawkins says, if you could see my phone log today, you wouldn't believe some of the coaches that I've already been talking to just today. Remember he says that? I mean, that's how I guess it works.
Yeah, almost like he was bragging a little bit. But.
No, he was. He was driving and bragging, which, you know, that's what, I mean.
And little did he know, the FBI is tapping his phone, right? That's why they have access. It's like you're thinking, who's filming this, you know? Like, how did they get this? Well, the FBI was you know, chronicling all of this for years.
I thought the perspective of the lawyer was good, too. The family friend, you know, that's also was his attorney.
He was good.
I enjoyed his insight on that, too.
He was. He was very good. So, Dick Vitale saying trust me, reliable sources, not singular, multiple sources telling him that LSU and Arizona basketball will get hit hard with major allegations by the NCAA. So if they get hit hard, I can't imagine Will Wade and Sean Miller surviving. Right? If that information is true, I have to believe it's at the cost of the head coaches, right?
How'd they make it
this
far?
That's
my question.
Great. I know. That's what we all have been wondering. That will do it for our show today as Chase McKay plays us out. You have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the look outside. It's fantastic outside. Go do something. Go walk the dogs. Go, you and the family, go walk the neighborhood. Be safe. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to finish up the week. Don't forget, trivia, our second installment of trivia at 1 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.